Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
There's something I want you to see here in Matthew 6, just briefly, when Jesus gives this instruction on prayer, where he says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. He's given us an outline and a directive in prayer that begins with our Father, which art or who dwells in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The king's dominion, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let's read verse 10 out loud together. Ready? Read. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, with that in mind, come over six chapters to Matthew 16. So Jesus just said that when you pray, call on the king's dominion, thy kingdom come. I'm calling on the king's dominion. I'm giving him dominion over my life, over my circumstance, over my situation. I'm calling on his authority, thy kingdom come. With giving him dominion over my life, my circumstance, and the situation that has led me into prayer, I'm asking that his will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth just as it is in heaven. Lord, that whatever your will is in heaven, that it be done in the earth. Now, that's the beauty of praying the word of God. Because the word teaches in the book of Deuteronomy, in the 30th chapter, in verse number 19, that God has given us a record, and this record is in heaven and it's in earth, of what he has set before us, life or death, blessing and cursing. And he's told us to choose life. And he says this record that we have, this ability to choose, this record is in both heaven and earth. When we call on the Father in prayer and we ask him to take dominion over our lives and over our circumstance, and we say, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, we're surrendering and we're saying, Lord, I choose your will to be done. I choose for the will of heaven to manifest in the earth. Do you realize that is an authority that we've been given in prayer? That there's an authority that we've been given in prayer to call on the will of heaven as it is in heaven to be done in the earth. In other words, God's not just sitting back saying, you know what, I'm going to invade your life on earth and do my will. Jesus has taught us that this is something that we ask for. It is something that we petition. We call on as ambassadors. We call on, Lord, the authority that you've given us. We call on that. Your kingdom come. Take dominion over this circumstance. Take dominion over my life, over my situation, and your will be done in me. Your will be done in my life on earth just as it is in heaven. Now, with that in mind, come to Matthew 16, because it's in Matthew 16 that Jesus establishes his ecclesia, or his church. We call it the church, but it's his ecclesia. That's the Greek word. It's a political term. It speaks of a branch of a government. When Jesus established his church, he did not establish a religion. He established a branch within his government. As a matter of fact, the kingdom that existed in this day when Jesus walked this earth was the Roman kingdom. And the Roman kingdom had a type of senate or a type of called out body that served like an ecclesia. And so those in that day and that culture would have understood what Jesus said when he called these disciples out and established his church as a branch of his kingdom, not some religious body, but a branch of his kingdom that would act as ambassadors of heaven in the earth. Now, that's another sermon for another day. Matter of fact, I've done a series some years ago called The Ecclesia. Now, watch this here in Matthew 16, verse 18. Peter gets this revelation of who Jesus is and that he is the Christ, that he is the anointed one. And Jesus says back in verse 18, he said, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, that was a name Jesus gave, Simon, and upon this rock I will build my church, my ecclesia, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Come on, somebody. Why? Verse 19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. When you've been given a key, you've been given authority. When you've been given a key, you've been given an authority. And he says, I give unto thee, he was speaking to the church, I give unto the church the keys, the authority of the kingdom of heaven. Watch this. And whatsoever thou shalt bind, lock with the key, whatever you bind on earth shall be what? Bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt what? Loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now notice the wording there. Jesus didn't say, I have the keys, and what I bind in heaven will be bound in earth, and what I loose in heaven will be loosed in the earth. No, he said, I give you the keys, and what you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven, and what you loose on earth, I will loose it in heaven. Now take that instruction and parallel that with the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6, 9, and 10, where he said, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Lord, you take dominion. Your kingdom come. Man thinks he has authority. Your kingdom come. My enemy thinks he has power. Your kingdom come. This situation facing my body thinks it has the final word. Your kingdom come. Lord, take dominion and exercise your authority and your power. Thy kingdom come. Now watch this. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said, that's how I want you to pray. I want you to call on my kingdom, and I want you to call on my will or my word to be done in earth just as it is in heaven. In other words, God wants to invade your earth from heaven. Hallelujah. God wants to change my earth from heaven. He wants to do something in my life on earth, and heaven is aware and engaged in what God's called me to do in the earth. Could it be, church, that the body of Christ has not risen up to the place that God has called it to operate in? And because we've not risen up in the authority of prayer, we've not risen up with the word of God on our mouth, and we're looking at God saying, Lord, when are you going to do something? And God is saying, I gave you the keys. When you bind, I will bind. When you loose, I will loose. Could it be that God's not moved in a supernatural way in our lives because we have not used the authority or the keys that he gave us? Now, before you say, that's crazy, that's heresy, I never heard anything like that, go back and reread everything I just read to you, and that's exactly what Jesus was saying. When you pray, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. If it were automatic, Jesus wouldn't say to pray it. When he gives those keys to the church here in Matthew 16, 19, he says, now what you bind, I bind. What you loose, I loose. So if it's not been bound, maybe I didn't bind it. If it's not been loosed, maybe I didn't loose it. It's time for the body of Christ to rise up in the authority that we've been given in prayer and declare the word of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, with that in mind, I want you to come back to Psalms 91. Psalms 91. That was introduction. But don't panic. This ain't going to take me long. A couple of hours, I have you out of here. Just kidding. Watch this. Psalms 91. Psalms 91. The book of Psalms is about right in the center of your Bible. Easy to find. Psalms 91. And I want to go down to verse number 15. Anybody there? Get there, just say amen. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Glory to God. Now, who is he talking to? He's talking to those that dwell, according to verse 1, in the secret place of the Most High. That phrase, Most High, is taken from a Hebrew name of God called El Elyon. This is a name of God that represents His supreme authority. Verse 1 says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That phrase, Most High, means the El Elyon. He reigns over all. He says, He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That word Almighty is translated El Shaddai. This verse literally reads, He that dwells in the secret place of El Elyon shall abide under the shadow of El Shaddai. El Shaddai represents God's provision, and it's literally translated the many-breasted one. Now watch what the psalmist does in verse 2. I will say of the Lord, read that out loud. I will say of the Lord. Do you realize every time you declare the word of God, you are saying of the Lord? I will say of the Lord. This isn't necessarily a prayer out of complaint. This is not a supplication where we're going to God and just addressing all the supplies that we need. No, this is a prayer based on the word. He said, I will say of the Lord. He's saying, I will speak the word. This is praying the word. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Now, I want you to pay attention to verse 2. Because the one doing the praying in Psalm 91, the one doing the praying, verse 2 is all they said. So you have 16 verses in Psalm 91. But when you study this whole chapter, the one that prayed only spoke verse 2. In other words, when you get to verse 3, somebody else starts talking. Verse 1 is just setting it up. See, he says in verse 2, I will say of the Lord. See, that's the one doing the praying. That's the one standing and calling on the Lord. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Now, if you go back to the verse we started with in verse 15, look, it says, He shall call upon me. Read that part out loud. He shall call upon me. So obviously, whoever's talking in verse 15 is not the same person talking in verse 2. Are y'all understanding the words that are coming out of my mouth? I mean, I need to know that you're seeing this, because if you're not seeing this, I'll stay right here and wait, and we'll just work it from all kind of angles until you see it. But you have to be able to see this, that Psalm 91 is an interesting psalm. It's almost like no other psalm, because there's more than one person in this psalm that's contributing to it. There's a conversation that's happening here. There was a prayer in Psalm 91, and then there was a response. So let's do this. I got to make sure I don't leave nobody behind. Look at verse 2, I will say of the Lord, and then go to verse 15, He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Okay, everybody see what I'm doing? Read that out loud. Ready? Read. I will say of the Lord, He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. See, that's not the same person doing the talking. Verse 2 would be like you or me. I will say of the Lord. Well, how do I say of the Lord? When I'm faced with a situation that looks like it's going to take me down, I will say of the Lord that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and that every tongue risen against me in judgment is condemned. When my children are under attack, I will say of the Lord, my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of my children. When my marriage is under attack, I will say of the Lord, what therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. When I don't know where my food or my supply is coming from, I will say of the Lord, never have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. When sickness attacks my body, I will say of the Lord, with his stripes I am healed. His word is health to my flesh. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? How can I say of the Lord when I don't know what the Lord said? I will say of the Lord. I will. That's what praying the word is. You're saying of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. See, I'm looking at whatever it is that's facing me, and I'm saying, okay, I see what's facing me, but I also know what the Lord said. So I'm not going to speak what I see facing me. I'm going to speak what the Lord said. So I'm going to look at what's facing me, and I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord, though the enemy come at me one way, he will leave out going seven ways. I will say of the Lord that greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I will say of the Lord, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory. I will say of the Lord. If God be for me, who can be against me? Are y'all getting the picture? But I can't say of the Lord when I don't know what the Lord said. That's why we got to learn and get into this under this conviction of praying the word. I'm speaking the word and praying the word and declaring the word once, and I had this individual tell me, well, you just can't say that. And I said, why can't I? And they said, well, you don't know if that's God's will. I said, but it's in his word. And his word is his will. If it wasn't his will, it wouldn't be in his word. Because his word is his will. So when I say, my Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy word be done. Thy word be done. On earth as it is in heaven. I love that. Thy word be done. Hey, what you say? Thy word be done. Thy word will not return unto you void. Thy word be done. If I abide in him, John 15:7. If I abide in him and his word abide in me, ask what you will and it shall be done. Thy word is his will. Thy word be done. Now let me get back to this here because I got more to cover. He says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Now, watch verse 3. Because verse 3 is not the one doing the praying. The one doing the praying in Psalm 91 only says verse 2. The rest of the whole psalm is the response to verse 2. I'm going to prove it to you. So watch verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee. See, that's not the one doing the praying. If that was the one doing the praying, he would say, surely you will deliver me. He doesn't say, surely you will deliver me. It says, surely he will deliver thee. So somebody hopped in behind verse 2 after somebody said of the Lord, it got a somebody's attention. And they jumped in and spoke to the one that did the saying of the Lord and said, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wing shalt thou trust. His truth. If you're one that writes in your Bible, next to that put John 17:17. His truth. His truth is his word. Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So his truth or his word shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shall not be afraid for the terror by night. See, somebody's talking to the one praying. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. See, that's somebody talking to the one that did the praying in verse 2. Now, you might be wondering, who's doing all the talking right here? Thought you'd never ask. That's Jesus. Jesus is our great high priest. He's the mediator between God and man. Earth can't touch heaven without Jesus. I'm going to say that again. Earth can't touch heaven without Jesus. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God gave his son to be a priest. Read Hebrews. He made his son a priest so that through his son, the priest, man could get to God, because it was through his son that God got to man. He's the mediator. He's the go-between. We can't talk to the Father without Jesus. Without Jesus, he's God. Through Jesus, he's Father. Oh, my goodness. So when I speak the word, my mediator, Jesus, receives that word. And as my mediator, he delivers that word to the Father. And not just the Father, but to angels. And so when the psalmist in verse 2 said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Jesus looked back at the one praying and said, now surely he, God, my Father, shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. See how that's working? Verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. I love verse 9. I love verse 9. Because thou, the one that prayed in verse 2, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, that's El Elyon, thy habitation. Because you made the Lord your refuge. Oh, my goodness. Let's read verse 9 all the way up to the word refuge. Ready? Read. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge. So he's saying, because you made the Lord your refuge, which is my refuge. Well, when did they make the Lord their refuge? Go back to verse 2. Read it. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Jesus in verse 9 said, now because you made the Lord your refuge, when did he make the Lord his refuge? When in verse 2 he said, the Lord is my refuge. Do you realize what happens when you speak the word in prayer? Jesus is full aware of what you're saying, saying, oh, that's what you have declared. That's what you have bound. That's what you have loosed. That's the authority you have tapped. He's responding to the prayer. He says, because you made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. That's what verse 1 was all about. There shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. Here we go. About to get to the good stuff. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So he's saying, because of that, because you said of the Lord, not only will you have everything you said of the Lord, but he's going to loose his angels to give charge over you to make sure that word you declared actually comes to pass. If you're one that writes in your Bibles, next to verse number 11, write down Luke 12:8. In Luke 12:8, Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Jesus is saying, when you make a confession in my name, I confess you before the angels of God. So heaven is being affected by righteous prayers in the earth. Heaven's responding. What you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. What you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. Heaven's aware.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McManus. Have a blessed week.